This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Welcome to Keeping It Real. And today's guest is none other than Gary V, aka Gary Vaynerchuk. He needs really no introduction. But for those of you who've been sleeping under a rock for the last, I don't know how many decades, don't feel bad. Don't worry about it. No judgment here. Gary V is arguably one of the most successful, inspirational, well-known entrepreneurs of our time. I can't even begin to get into all of this guy's accomplishments, but one of the most impressive is he grew his parents' tiny little wine business into an absolute Goliath. And from there, a genius was born, quite literally. Today, we're going to be discussing his brand new book. It's called 12 and a Half, Leveraging the Emotional Ingredients Necessary for Business Success. This is a damn good show, guys. I got to tell you that Gary inspired me. He changed my mind on quite a few things. I definitely take him to task on this one. And I think it's fair to say that he wins on all of his points. So stay tuned, enjoy, and get the book. All right, team, we are back with the one and only Gary Vaynerchuk, and I'm proud to say personal friend of mine. Gary, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
I'm pretty darn excited about your new book, 12 and a Half, Leveraging the Emotional Ingredients Necessary for Business Success. I think you might be the only businessman in the world who actually gives a shit about people.
You know what's funny about that? Let's just start. Like, that's such a fun way to start.
Really?
I actually think that it's not true, but to your point, I almost think that's what this whole book's about. I don't think people realize how much kindness, empathy, you know, consideration, graciousness, humility are actually the alpha traits of sustained business success. I think the narrative is sharp elbows, aggressiveness. Yes. And I feel like, and listen, and you know this, like I'm a Jersey boy, I'm competitive, I communicate very aggressively, but it's very clear to me that my business success and many others that I admire that have had sustained, consistent success and are happy doing it are built on these strong, soft skills that I argue are hard skills. I love the way you just started that. I'm sorry to jump in, but that is like—
No, please jump in.
Well, it's unbelievable that within 13 hundredths of a second, you've established what I'm so excited about, which is, oh my God, I think we're gonna start realizing in this next half century that if you wanna be a business juggernaut, proper humanity is actually the foundation of it. This is not foofy stuff. This is not entitlement. This is not like kumbaya. This is not overcorrection. This is the actual foundation of building something meaningful.
I want to play devil's advocate.
Please.
I've always said that modern day business is the art of war. It is like there's no more Genghis Khans. It's now rape, pillage, and plunder. Big companies upon little companies. You know, they prey upon you. And, you know, with my little company, my business partner and I are always like, you know, who's looking to f*** us? Quite frankly. and it's always, and the bigger the guy, the bigger the billionaire, I'm always like, God, this is dangerous. This is bad news. I don't want to get it. And it never fails though, Gary, that's the thing. So my argument is it's like, oh, the little guy always loses and the nice guy comes in last. And not only does he lose in business, he also never gets the girl. So he isn't getting laid either. So all of these nice traits, right? They don't work for you. You're going to lose if you're a good guy. And it has played out that way because—
But it hasn't. It's played out.
You're the only one, dude.
No. I'll explain it. Because I love it. And shit, this is already better than most podcasts I do. So thank you for your epic energy as always.
I know my time with you is limited. I'm like, we got to get right to it here.
How is it possible
to get ahead being accountable and gracious, gratitude? Like bullshit. None of these billionaires are this way. They're assholes.
Yeah, except you. No, I don't think Warren Buffett's an asshole.
Fair. I can't name the names of the ones I think are.
I think you know what it comes down to? It's rubbernecking. When you drive on the highway, and nothing goes wrong. It doesn't even register.
Yeah.
When an accident happens, it does. Sharks. Sharks don't bite people that often, but we feel like they do. What our society is predicated on is paying it. And I love how you're reacting. Like, I actually think this argument, this debate, this conversation is quite fascinating, because I think even I just really appreciated the way you just kind of nodded your head. Like, there's things that popular culture believes that is just the way it became in belief, but oftentimes the data doesn't support it. You know, you and I know tons of people who have not done well in business because they were too soft, but passiveness and kindness are two different words. We also both know, you and I, people who've made money by being bad short term. But I will tell you that I know so many people that have made money, quote unquote, business success. And I know a lot of them that are completely miserable, you know, aren't fulfilled, don't have great relationships, are skittish, don't trust because they themselves have done the wrong thing. And I know people who've made money and have had business success who've done it in a kind way. And remember, and you'll love this, this will really resonate with you. We have to be very careful in sports, right? It's okay to go very hard, compete very hard, throw a little bit of an elbow, trip somebody. But right. After the game, you know, this you drives me out. Crazy. Yeah, as a fan, and that's a fanatic, I get pissed when my Jets lose by 20 points. And then after the game, they're exchanging jerseys and they're hugging and they're asking how the family is. And I'm pissed because I'm a fan. But in real life, even though they've been beating each other's heads in, they're able to transition when the clock hits 000 and act human. I would argue that a lot of people in business blame businesses for just playing hard business. And they decide that they're bad people, even though they're just competing. You see where I'm going? And there's a difference.
I do absolutely see where you're going. Okay.
If you're Goliath, like, let there be no confusion. Every Goliath was a David. All of them.
Okay.
McDonald's, Google, Nike, all of them. No business that we would say Amazon, they're evil. Amazon started as a little piece of shit in a garage. And guess what? Barnes and Nobles and Borders, because I was there, did all sorts of things to stop Bezos. They threatened publishers. Yeah, see, this is where it gets really, I love this.
But
I love,
see, evil. That's evil, though.
Not
that's
evil.
That's totally.
I would argue.
It's totally contradictory to traits.
No, what I would say is this. For me, I think that too many people think zero-sum game in business. So, for example,
way too many. That's
way
for
too
sure.
many, Joe, right?
Yeah.
I 100%. Know a ton of bookstores with physical locations that are actually doing extremely well because the owners are innovating, whether it's coffee shop integration, whether it's community, whether it's subscription. We have the most ultimate, quote unquote, big business in Amazon that makes it ridiculous for anyone to consider to buy a book, to buy any other way than that. I guess where I'm coming from is I, for example, love competing, but have never taken anything that any business has done to me personally, because not that it's business is business, it's actually empathy in that most people don't live in the same frame that I do, which is the world is abundant. And so because of that, they feel like this pitch, they're going to try to undermine me because the money's on the line, or this wine store was nasty to me because they didn't like that I was getting more customers. When I started advertising nationally, my dad's wine store, I was taking wine business away from Brown Derby in St. Louis, Wine Club in California, Specs in Houston. It wasn't that I wanted to hurt them, nor did I think it was going to quote unquote put them out of business. Believe it or not, and this is very real to me, almost no big business I know spends its time being despisingly serious about trying to put people out of business. They're normally on the concept of trying to build their business.
No, so it's like, not okay, me. So here's my question then, right? Please. So you mentioned Barnes and Noble.
Yeah.
and the other one, Borders,
yep,
went after Bezos. Okay, so then how does 12 and a half,
yep,
how would 12 and a half have handled Bezos if they were Barnes and Noble?
They would have said, this internet thing is real. Let's go on the offense on the internet. And so that's my point, that Barnes and Noble's and Bezos, excuse me, and Borders lost because they thought they could play politics with the publishers instead of the world is abundant and maybe that entrepreneur over there in Seattle is going to do something, but that's irrelevant to us. But in a weird way, let's even cheer for him because the addressable market's enormous and let's actually respect him instead of shit on him and politic him, learn from watching his behavior from afar, which may lead for us to be more innovative, right? Right. And so, and there's also hypocrisy, right? Everybody's mad at Amazon today. Amazon dented Walmart. Everybody hated Walmart 20 years ago. Before that, everybody hated Sears and Kmart and Caldor. It's the same old game. Now we're going very macro. Here's my point of view for the book and what I really wrote it for. Forget about the big business stuff for a second. Every person listening right now, whether employee, middle manager, or owner, would be stunned, I believe, if they disproportionately over-indexed in optimism and karma in business. I actually believe that. I'll give you an example, Jillian, back to your point, me and my partner always work. If, for example, if you don't spend any time worrying a bit about the big bad billionaire doing something bad, that 2 hours of energy is actually spent on offense on the consumer.
We say that all the time. We feel like we have to spend so much time playing defense. But do you not have to play defense then?
I would say it looks a little bit like this. There's a very famous basketball team from the late 80s and 90s. And this is in some way maybe the argument I'm making. Late 80s, early 90s, called Loyola Marymount. And they got very famous because they had a very big tragedy in 1989-90 where Hank Gathers, it became national news, passed on the court. Oh God. He had a heart condition. And it was really sad and it kind of caught national attention. But the other thing they were known for is as a college basketball team, they were winning games 147 to 132. And it was wild. It was run and shoot. It was just a totally different cut. And in a lot of ways, similar to the basketball we know today, threes and offense and quick and get the shot up and run the people out of the gym. And so I think about business that way. Yes, I think there's some level of awareness that needs to be done of what's going on. But I'll give you an example. This is actually, this is the first time I remember using this analogy, but it hit me hard.
I'm ready.
It's good to be a human being, to be aware when you're walking in the street at 11 p.m. at night. It's good to be aware. It's not good to always think that you're going to get kidnapped at every second of your life.
Yeah, I understand.
Fear is the worst. It's the second most powerful thing in the universe. Awareness and understanding your surroundings is thoughtful. And I believe that that's my answer to your question.
Fair. All right. On that note, I want to take a break for our sponsors. And when we come back, I want to dig into a little bit of what is actually in here now that we've established how important the book is as a whole. Guys, we'll be right back with Gary Vaynerchuk. And we're talking about his new book, 12 and a half. All right, we are back with Gary Vaynerchuk. We're talking about his new book, 12 and a half, guys, leveraging the emotional ingredients necessary for business success, which sets me up to the 12 and a half ingredients here. And I'm going to list them. We've got gratitude, self-awareness, accountability, optimism, empathy, kindness, tenacity, curiosity, patience, conviction, humility, ambition, kind candor, my half. Kind candor. I'm going to grab that one.
My half. So I was very vulnerable in this book. This is going to blow a lot of people away if they've ever consumed my content. On stage, on a podcast, interviews, most of what people see of me in the world, my greatest strength is candor. I mean, I get 10,000 DMs a week. I love your no bullshit approach. I'm very good at it. I get right to the heart of the matter. I go to candor. Gary Vaynerchuk, the executive for the last 20 years, struggled with it immensely. I'm anti-confrontational.
What?
Yep. If you talk, and you've been in my office, and you may or may not know this. I don't know how much you got to figure this out. I've got plenty of this kind of energy when I'm talking to the world, because I'm talking to the world. But when I talk to John or Sally or Susan or Jamal, it becomes very personal and very real. And so I always felt that I could coach a situation out of positivity. And when I reflected, especially over COVID, because I had time to think.
Yeah.
I realized, I asked myself a very simple question. Gary, with your intent, and who knows you better than yourself, right? Everybody knows themselves the best. I'm like, why do I have any people that have ever worked for me unhappy with me? In a world where I don't value the money enough, I care about my reputation more than anything. I love people more than anything. Like, why is it that I even have people who are miffed at me, mad at me? And I was able to really get to the core of the matter. And it was in my subconscious for the last 5 years. And I had an event maybe 6 years ago where we had to lay off 20 people because of financial constraints. And the company revolted after we went from 30 to 800 people. We did a little 20 person layoff. And I'm like, oh, I'm creating entitlement. And I'm like, it's because, and I realized that then that I had a candor issue, but I wasn't ready to fix it. And so the reason the book's called 12 and a half is it's actually 13 ingredients, personality traits that I'm standing out as what I believe, one man's point of view, really matter in business. But I called it 12 and a half because candor, and now I define it as kind candor because that lands for me, is not something that I have been great at, and I'm still on my journey. And even in my journey in the last 2-3 years, I felt huge success for it. Because the way it would happen, Jillian, is that I would be so positive and optimistic trying to find a solution that the person that was on the other end of it always thought things were going well. And then out of nowhere for them, they'd be fired.
Oh,
right? So
I get it.
Got it? So 9 weeks ago, I'm in a 30-minute meeting saying, you know, Jillian, listen, I'm telling you, like, rely on Karen a little more. It's good to delegate. And by the way, like, you're doing a ton of great stuff. Great. And I'd go crazy and I'd be like, and by the way, maybe you want to just try a little, but I would never go direct. I would dance because my thought was that people would get scared. And if they got scared, that's how visceral I am to fear. If they got scared, they would not produce as well. They would
paralyzed.
Find another job. They'd be paralyzed.
Oh,
what
my
I
God,
what I
course.
Came to realize
yep.
was
yes.
what and this devastated me when I became my conscious, not my subconscious. 2-3 years ago, I realized, my number one thing I'm proud of is eliminating fear. Number one. The company knows that I can't shoot straight enough, so there's actual fear because people don't know where they fully stand. And that was a heartbreaker for me. And so I really went into that in this book and I speak about that. And by the way, accountability is my greatest strength. I'm infatuated almost to a fault of saying everything is my fault. I've also observed and aware in 20 years, 25 years of a career that most people stink at accountability. They're in love. If you're listening right now and you have employees, everything in your company is your fault. Because if John messed up, you hired John.
Yeah.
You hired John. You. So I'm very, you know, I'm really excited about this book. I think it's going to start a different conversation. I really do see the business world a specific way. I do think I'm a little bit of a enigma because I've always thought these things and have acted these ways. And I believe that this is the first time I've been able to really put it on pen and paper. I mean, there's an example in the book I talk about of like, your partner of 20 years has stolen from you.
Okay.
And my first trait that I go to is empathy.
Oh, come on. Really?
Because I lived it. We had a gentleman steal. Right? This happened. This is now real life. I don't talk about this in a book, but I'll be based on your reaction. I'm going to give you the story.
Oh, my first would be a call to the police.
And that's what my dad. And by the way, that's what my father did. We had a major,
because okay, like,
major,
yeah, you
a major six hefty six figure, close to seven figure stealing event over a 12-month period. about 12 years ago. And we're a small business.
Empathy, but how did empathy serve you?
I'll explain.
I need to understand that scenario.
I will.
Okay. All right. I'm here.
We value money too much. Let's just start there.
Fair.
Let's just start there.
Okay.
Money's poison for a lot of people.
But so it's freedom for a lot of people. And you have a ton of it. And if you're telling me that this is how you got it, then I'm on board. Well, listen, but how does empathy help you with the dude that just robbed you blind?
Easy. When you have somebody that works for you for 6 years and everything's great and phenomenal, when you're first hit with the news, you react as an animal your way. My father and I are very different animals. I'm telling you the truth. I hear the news after our investigation that it is this gentleman who has been stealing. My brainy knee, this is really, you know, I wish my dad, I just hope that you know this is true. My brain immediately went to something's wrong. Something bad is going on with him. My dad called the police on the spot. On the spot, my father called the police.
I would have done that.
And said to me, and he looked at me, he knows me at this point. We'd worked together for 10, 15 years. And usually I would get my way because I was the driver of the business. He looked at me with red face and said, I'm putting this mother in jail and you're not going to stop me.
I might have said the same thing to you.
And I said, Dad, I get it because I do.
Yeah.
I go, but we need to talk to him. So the punchline is, it was a very difficult event. By the way, here's the moral of the story. This gentleman hurt his back at our liquor store, never told anybody, started taking pain medicine, got addicted to it.
Okay,
so this is real shit for me. No, this is real talk now. This is real talk. Listen, by the way, everybody's listening.
Yeah,
a lot of you don't.
How does it get you?
Here's how. Let me break
it down. I'm with you.
I need everybody to hear this. I know a lot of people listening right now don't know me. I am not on this podcast look at me. I'm so nice. I don't give a on some real shit.
No, you don't.
I really don't.
that's
genuinely don't. I don't care if you think I'm great, the worst. I am so happy and so grateful for that happiness that I'm on a mission to talk about things that I see that others don't. And I have a 25-year innovation career, whether it was the internet, social media, now NFTs. I'm really good at this shit. I really see shit that others don't. I'm telling all of you from the bottom of my heart that this whole concept of nice guys finish last, or if you're too kind, you're going to get walked all over, is, stick with me now, an excuse for people that aren't good enough. Yeah. Now let me flip the switch on you. This is where I'm going. This is alpha talk now. This isn't foofy, like let's overcoddle a generation of businessmen and women. This is the great farce of business. I believe the way we got into believing that soft things aren't good is non-winning players or not good enough were insecure and created the narrative. I'm telling you right now, it's incredibly easy to build a fucking empire and be nice.
Well, you've done it. So that is the
right?
thing.
It's a little bit like that was a little curve off speed pitch at the end, right?
Yeah, but you've done it. And that's the thing. It's not words because is you.
And other people have done it. I know so many people. I do. I'm one man. Maybe we don't go to billionaire status, but I know so many people that make $2 to $7 million a year. I do, me. Whether it's a law firm, whether it's a 5-store unit. I just know a lot of people who also are more guidance counselor and more head coach and more good parent and have built good companies. And I know, by the way, I also know unlimited people also who are insecure, tear down others, you know, sharp elbows, and have also made money. But here's my point. The people that I've observed and I know and I've watched and I've done my homework on that do it the wrong way eventually burn out. They don't finish the marathon, right? They either get off the grid, they either completely check out, they either get canceled. They either, you know, really get into, at the most extreme, alcoholism, drug use, very unhealthy relationships. And many of them, if you talk to 70, 80, 90-year-old alpha winners of the past that did it the wrong way, are quite lonely, deep in depression. They've got very small friend groups, and there's a lot of insecurity there. On the flip side,
the examples I can think of are exactly thank
you.
Like that.
Thank you. On the flip side, 100% right. we don't talk about it. Back to rubbernecking. We love to talk about the bad. We don't, you know, negativity is much louder than positivity, Joey, much louder. We don't talk about the guy or gal who's golfing right now in Naples, 79 years old, adored, 500 people show up to their 80th birthday party, kids that people that worked for him or her have named their children after them, and they made $29 million, you know, a year, their last 5 years, have four homes, are liked by their friends and family. They exist at a much greater scale. My belief is that it's important to talk about this. And let me go back to alpha. Let me drop the most interesting part. Companies and businesses are going to have no choice because the kids coming up have too many options.
Yeah, they do. Oh my God, you can't get good help, quote unquote.
You know why? Because the good help has options. It's not 1979 anymore. These kids are influencers on TikTok making $200,000 a year. The do you want them to work for $47,000 in a shitty environment for you for? That's entitlement. That's loser entrepreneurship. This is a very,
accurate.
Very, oh very God, real so conversation. Right. This is a yes, real conversation. This is happening. I know it. And I wanted to put pen to paper on it.
Well, you certainly did. And I know you've got a million things to do running all of your companies with gratitude.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Gratitude. Let's stay there for a few seconds because we have a few
minutes. If I can keep you, I'll stay here as long as I can keep you.
I know enough about you and watch everything that I know that the amount of the people that are listening to this is the exact second have a lot of winner DNA in them. Your world, I just know this. This is a major compliment actually to you first and foremost, but secondarily, literally to the person that's listening right now. You're not listening to you if you don't have ambition, if you don't have like tenacity, like they have a lot of pieces in place, a lot. And I think the first one on the list is there for a reason. Let me go back to why soft skills are actually the hard skills. If you actually have gratitude, actually, everything else doesn't matter. Literally nothing else. I am so unbeatable in business because I'm so grateful to even be playing. I'm not counting every other part of it. Of course, I'm always good. I'm not worried about anything besides the ability to wake up and play. I believe this. This is not rah-rah. I believe this. I believe if you're grateful, you woke up, nobody died overnight. What a huge win. You woke up and you have people you love. Like if you have children, like you're winning. Like if you have like if your parents are still like if you have health and if you have health of the people you love about, back to why I didn't struggle with that stealing is because I don't give a about the $800,000 when it mattered a lot to me. I know it hurt our business. I was just going to work hard. Like it's the game. It's almost like throwing an interception. I didn't want to. I don't want to be down 21-0. I don't want to be knocked down twice in the first round of a boxing match. But if people have come back from 21-0 in a football game, if people have won a fight that have been knocked down twice in the first round later to only come back and win the fight, then why are we not capable of dealing with adversity in business when that's what we're doing here? If you signed up to be an entrepreneur, the do you think is going to happen? This goes back to my point. We make excuses to make ourselves feel better. This is a game. I wouldn't call it war because that's an extreme version of a game, but it's a game. It's a game. And what do you want from somebody I love this from the small guy because I've been a small guy. I'm still the small guy. I don't have big corporations. I want to do business. I would like this customer's money. I'm saying that we need to rewrite this conversation because there's a lot going on. And I do think that gratitude, when I really think about it, when you actually mean it, I'm talking about, are you actually grateful? For example, there's 835 million people on Earth, a billion people on Earth that don't have access to clean water. There are people walking 18 miles in Africa for a bucket of clean water. And you're going to be upset that somebody canceled a meeting on you? If you're actually listening to this podcast, you have the time and luxury to listen to this great podcast. You are such a fortunate person. We are so spoiled as a modern era I love everyone's like, oh, this is such a bad time. I'm like, you know, I always talk about this is the best opportunity time. And everyone's like, Gary, it's horrible. I'm like, if you listen to social media and mainstream media, I understand why you think that. Let me just remind you this nirvana you thought about in the last 100 years. You mean when there was no social media, when we had the highest level of dictatorship, fascism, the Holocaust, diseases were like everybody, like we demonize the current and we glorize the past. We lack accountability, we lack perspective, and it plays out in society. But I'm focused on the very narrow part of business for everybody who's listening, which is people's entitlement is laughable. Of course, other companies are going to try to get customers. You are too.
I know. All right. But the argument, you're right. I agree. But your argument is that if you do it as essentially a kind, responsible, accountable, optimistic, gracious human being, you'll get farther. You'll be happier. 100%,
I 100% believe it. And I'll say it again in sports. If you are heavily focused on good things for your customer and more importantly, your employees, and you are indifferent to your competitors, that's the way I would say it. Indifferent. If you are completely focused on everything I talk about in this book for your customers, but even more importantly, your employees, and you are indifferent to your competition, you will go much, much, much further. I know it. And I think reputation is mattering more and more and more and more and more every day, as it always has, but it's more obvious. I'm really excited that we got, listen, if one person listening today got it, well, this was the best use of my time.
What they need to do is go out and get this. Everyone, go out and buy 12 and a half, leveraging the emotional ingredients necessary for business success. You changed my mind. I'm going to give you that. You know what a stubborn bitch I can be. And it's not the first time you've changed my mind.
It's made me think,
I just
right?
got the book yesterday, so now I'm going to have to
think,
read it.
Right? It makes you think,
No, you know
bit.
What? I think about how bitter I've been about not having all this VC money and
That's
how
right.
I get like outspent and
yep.
you know people are always pulling dirty shit. And it and, like instead of me like freeing up that bitter energy, mm-hmm. you're not wrong. I'm like, okay, you make a very good point. Like
and
if I spent all that time with the police putting that guy in jail,
yep.
And you know, instead of like securing that vulnerability in the business and then going forward, I probably would have wasted less time and gotten farther. I mean, I'm definitely, my wheels are turning. You've got my wheels turning, but you always do because that's why you're you.
And you know what's so funny? I really think it's a big deal for you. Like I have a sense of you. Like I'm actually pumped right now. Like you are such a tour de force. I just want to throw one other thing at you. If you understood how young you were, I mean this now, because we're in the age groups where people are very confused. I know, really? Stick with me. I know. I'm like, really, stick with me here. If you actually understood that, patience is a very sneaky one in my book. If you ask me, I focus on gratitude because we didn't have, you know, but now I'm running over because I'm enjoying this too much. Patience. If you take gratitude and patience together, you create a package emotionally that lets you do what I'm talking about. Got it?
Yeah.
Like that, you know, knowing like it's your ambition and because you have it. I love that about you, actually. It was so obvious to me from afar and then closer. Your ambition. I am as ambitious as they come. My great fortune, the luck of the DNA draw and parenting draw and circumstance draw is my ambition is matched with my patience. Julie, I was 33 years old working in my dad's liquor store, making less than $100,000 a year, owning nothing of the business and had to start over at 34 because I built a family business for my parents. And I was a superstar and I knew it, but I had the patience to say, it's okay. I'm 33, 30, I'm going to be 34. I'm going to do this for 50 more years. I have kids rolling up at me at 26, 27, thinking their careers are over.
Really?
Yeah. And I have 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds who actually think they're done with life. And I'm like, what the f*** are you doing? You're going to live another 50 years. Like you're going to work at least, like you can build an empire. Like when we think about Vera Wang or we think about the Colonel who did Kentucky Fried Chicken or Sidney Frank who did Grey Goose, these are real. There are people who from zero or from a small base in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s have built meaningful things. You know, I just wish people realized how important patience was in alpha business building. I'm really excited about this book. I think I'm onto something. I may never see it. There may be a young girl in Bulgaria who reads this book in 40 years, 50 years when I'm gone, and uses it as a framework to say her piece, and she might be the voice that moves the world. But I'm convinced that I'm right about this.
Yeah, you've given me chills. I'm gonna say I'm convinced that you are too. And you've made me far more optimistic than I was 30 minutes ago, brother.
That makes me happy.
So
love you. Thank you.
I adore you, and the book is tremendous. I look forward to it.
Thank you. Bye.
Guys, the book is available everywhere. Go and get it. 12 and a half, leveraging the emotional ingredients necessary for business success. And you can find Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, everywhere on social media.